the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Well, folks, welcome to the program. It almost has the feeling of unreality about it, but it's as real can be. The feeding tube has been removed from Terry Schiavo in her hospice in Pinellas County, Florida. And if you've been watching the news all day, you'll know there's been plenty of conversation about this. We have finally arrived at that day. Many of us have been dreading and fearing in terms not only of the case of Terry Schiavo, but the dignity of human life around the world and in this country. What we have here is a court-mandated starvation of a woman who cannot speak for herself. What we have here is one of the most complex and frankly, corrupted cases of medical ethics that I could ever imagine. We've been following this case closely, and in a few minutes we'll be going over the precise details of this case, and we'll talk about how we got here. But right now we need to talk about where we are. No journalist has given this more attention with more care than Jim Smith, editor of the Florida Baptist Witness in Jacksonville, Florida. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you, Dr. Mohler.
Can you bring us up to date? I mean, we've been seeing Fox, CNN, we've been looking at the Associated Press feed, and of course seeing the press conference with attorney George Filos. I want to talk about that in just a moment. But tell me, where are we right now in the case of Terry Schiavo?
Well, as you said, the feeding tube has been removed, and candidly, I was traveling across the state as all of this was happening, so you may know more of the details than I do at the moment. I just got back to my office, but the feeding tube has been removed. There are a number of efforts that are still underway, both in the courts federally, and hopefully Congress will finally get around to actually getting the bill resolved that is out there that has been passed in both the Senate and the House. But the fact of the matter is that the tube has now been removed, and so therefore the starvation process has begun.
Yeah, it seemed like this was just one of those days that was on the horizon, but you kept hoping against hope. We all were that this was not going to happen. But the obstinate determination of Michael Schiavo and his attorney, George Filos, and this judge, Judge George Greer of Pinellas County, Florida, have all come together. And, of course, there are other efforts underway. Just to bring you up to date on where we stand, a law has been passed by the United States House that says that in such a situation, a federal judge must review the situation. The Senate has passed a bill that says that the a federal judge may review the case, the medical condition, and cause a different result. There is also a private relief bill that has been undertaken by the Senate. And as we go to the air today, it looks like over the weekend there's going to be some negotiation. And hopefully on Monday, the most likely prospect is that this private relief bill will get adopted by both the Senate and the House, signed by President Bush. And then a federal court can intervene, but of course we're already talking about the feeding tube having been removed. Jim, where do we stand in terms of the Florida courts and the Florida legislature?
Well, the Florida legislature yesterday took up legislation both in the Senate, in the House, and in the Senate, passed a bill after a lengthy debate in the House. I witnessed the entire debate. And then the bill was stymied yet again in the Florida Senate, which unfortunately has been a pattern in the Florida legislature, where our Senate has frequently stood in the way of pro-life and pro-family matters. And unfortunately, only 16 senators out of 40 could muster the courage to stand on behalf of Terry Schiavo, and therefore the legislation died. There was a difference between the Senate version in the Florida legislature, just as in the U.S. U.S. Congress, there's been a different legislation. But in the Florida legislature, the House and the Senate had different bills as well. But there was hope that if they could just get it to a conference committee, they could work something out in the Florida legislature. And that has not happened. And it appears, at least for the moment, that the Florida legislature is done with what they're going to do. Senator Webster from Orlando, who valiantly has championed this case, has indicated that that bill will remain there on the calendar as long as Terry Schiavo lives, so that he can remind the senators what's at stake. And so perhaps that might it might be brought back. But It appears that the Florida legislature is now out of the picture, and our hope now is that the U.S. Congress will resolve the difference between those competing bills and pass something that can help Terry.
There has been so much nonstop news coverage about this, and for good reason, I would argue. I think this case appropriately draws that kind of attention, and in fact, I'd be more concerned if it were not getting the kind of media attention that has been directed that way today. By the way, I'm going to be on CNN headline news program Nancy Grace tonight at 8 o'clock to discuss this case. And, you know, Jim, as I've been looking at the national media's coverage, so many of them have said this is a tempest in a teapot, much ado about nothing, political grandstanding. I think we need to remind all of our listeners today what's really at stake here. We have a woman who 15 years ago, at age 26, suffered a catastrophic accident. We don't know exactly what caused it, but it was a chemical imbalance in her body or something. It's just medically non-defined, but it was catastrophic in terms of stopping her heart. And with a lack of oxygen to the brain, she is now in some kind of minimally conscious state. And that's one of the great medical debates. Some argue, including her husband, that she's in a persistent vegetative state. Others argue that she is not. And many Americans have seen the videotape of Terry that has been spread around on the Internet and various media sources showing her apparent response to things, which certainly would show she's not in a persistent vegetative state. Her husband at first argued that he was going to stand by her, that that he would stay married to her, stay faithful to her, and continue to contend for her health and for her further treatment. He went into court and got a pretty significant malpractice judgment. When he was in that court making the case, he argued that that there was hope for her recovery and that she should continue to live, and that's part of the reason why he made this case. But now he's decided at a subsequent date that he no longer wants, or let me put it this way, he is now saying that she had expressed a desire that such treatment would not be continued. Now, again, that is precisely the opposite of what he argued in the malpractice trial, but that's what he's arguing now. He came before Pinellas County Judge Judge George Greer in this latest round, and with his attorney, euthanasia enthusiast George Filos, has carried the day. And basically, there have been no further medical tests. What Terry's parents, the Schindlers, have prayed and contended for and requested in terms of an opportunity for further medical treatments and further medical tests has been stymied. They have indeed been denied access to her, and now today at 1:45, the feeding tube was removed. Jim, you know, what would you add to that that would help our listeners to understand the gravity of this situation?
Well, this is the at the very heart of this. This is about the sanctity of human life. If Roe versus Wade was the seminal decision that brought us abortion on demand, this case very well may bring a new level of attack on the sanctity of human life in the case of end-of-life matters, in the case of euthanasia. Terry Schiavo is not dying. Terry Schiavo is alive. She only needs what you and I and every listener of this program needs, and that is just food and water. And it is outrageous that her death is being not allowed to happen, but is being executed by her husband and now by the judge in this case, Judge Greer, who has taken it upon himself to order this removal. So there are extraordinary implications in this case, and it's a case that every Christian, and for that matter, every American, should be concerned about.
Let's try to take apart some of the issues here. First of all, we have the difficult end-of-life decisions. And Jim, one of the points I want to make that we've been tracking as this story has unfolded is the fact that we have no authoritative witness to the fact, first of all, that Terry Schiavo ever expressed a desire that she would not have such treatments. Isn't that right?
That's correct. In fact, that was a central dispute in the trial trial court, in the matter brought by her husband seeking the removal of the feeding tube. You mentioned that in the malpractice case, he promised the court that he loved his wife and that he wished to serve her the rest of his days, and that's why he needed this judgment to help care for her. Within months after that, he had filed to a do not resuscitate order, and then not long after that, started to pursue the removal of the feeding tube. It's very clear that there's a very large contradiction here in what Mr. Schiavo says about what his wife's wishes would have been. It's odd that during the malpractice case, he would not have had mentioned at any point along the way that she would not wish to live like this. And yet, shortly after he wins the lawsuit, indeed, he comes back and makes that very argument. The only witnesses that he puts forward for that claim are himself and two of his own family members. No others have testified to that. In fact, there is contradictory testimony to the contrary.
We're getting ready to go into a break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about George Filos, the attorney in this case. A fascinating story and very, very germane and material to this particular case. He is an enthusiast for euthanasia in a most bizarre way, as we will see. In fact, the conflicts of interest, the weird contortions and convolutions of this case are almost beyond our imagination. But this is what we face. The feeding tube has been removed, and we're up against the reality that unless some intervention soon comes, Terry Schiavo will die of starvation and dehydration. Ponder that. We'll be right back with the Albert Mueller Program. Get ready to call the phone number 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Join the discussion. We'll be right back. We're talking about the case of Terry Schiavo, and the day we have dreaded has now come, and the event that has been the focal point of this day is what took place at 1:45 p.m., and the feeding tube and the hydration sources for Terry Schiavo were removed at the insistence of her husband, with the encouragement of his attorney, and with the advocacy and authority of a county judge, Pinellas County Judge George W. Greer, there in Florida. Now, this is after the judge ruled inconsequential and irrelevant a subpoena handed down by the United States Congress. It is after several different court appeals were tried and all the rest, and even after another county judge had granted a stay against the removal of the feeding tube. This is a judge who is absolutely determined to see this take place. And we've been talking about Judge Greer. And by the way, the update on his situation, we talked about the conflict with his church, the Calvary Baptist Church of Clearwater, Florida. And I read to you from that church's pastor's very brave statement. News is now coming down that that Judge Greer has withdrawn his membership from that church. But going back to George Filos, the attorney in this case, Jim Smith, who's with us today as our guest, editor of the Florida Baptist Witness, just about 2 years ago wrote an incredible expose on this attorney and his worldview. Jim, who is this guy?
Well, he's a spiritual seeker of the First Order. He has experimented with all kinds of religious views, and he explains in a book called Litigation, a Spiritual Practice, how his spirituality impacts what he does as a lawyer. And one of the two cases that he cites in the book relates to the case that he argued related to Estelle Browning, who was a woman who he helped to try to end her life in the first celebrated euthanasia case that he took. This man, George Filos, believes in reincarnation. He believes in every kind of New Age esoteric spirituality that you would come across on the Internet. And in this book, he talks very candidly about his spirituality. And the thing that I found most interesting about this is that in much of the media coverage related to the Terry Schiavo case, a great deal of attention has been placed on the fact that Catholics and conservative Christians are attempting to enforce or inflict their religious viewpoint on the rest of the country or on the courts or even on Terry Schiavo or Michael Schiavo, and yet no one is talking about George Filos and his spiritual views.
Okay, Jim Smith, I want to tell you what's on Amazon.com, the description of his book. This is what Amazon has up right off of their website. You can go look at it yourself. Amazon.com, the title is Litigation as Spiritual Practice. He says this: as the legal advocate of his client's right to die, attorney George Filos plumbed the depths of death and dying and spearheaded a social revolution to enable death with dignity in the state of Florida. Filos uses this case and a decades-long tax battle with the United States Justice Department, sending him to Hong Kong's back alleys in search of antique jades and ivories, as a framework to interweave the story of his law practice and spiritual unfoldment. End quote. I've been looking at the website, Blue Dolphin Publishing's website. It's bizarre stuff. Books with titles like The Planetary Mind, Messages from Jesus, A Dialogue of Love by some author named Saint Ta, T.A. A book by John Cord, The Christian Right or Wrong, Exposing the Corrupt Teachings of Corporate Christianity and Its Leading Media Evangelists. And all kinds of New Age stuff, metaphysical techniques that really work. It's bizarre stuff. And Jim Smith's been making the point that the worldview of Christianity has been very much under attack here, saying that these are far-right extremists, Catholics and evangelicals, and George Vilas himself has tried to put it off on the anti-abortion movement. That's what's really going on here. It's just a disguised political battle, taking advantage of Terri Schiavo. Well, talking about taking advantage, who's talking about George Vilas and his advocacy for euthanasia? Who's talking about the fact that he was once chairman of the board of directors of the hospice where Terri Schiavo is being housed at her husband's insistence and where the doctors have been making the decisions about what should and shouldn't be done and advising the court? Who's talking about that kind of conflict of interest, much less the conflict of interest about Michael Schiavo himself? Folks, I want you to hear this attorney, this George Vilas, at work. And we got several clips from his press conference today that you really need to hear. Coming up first, let's just hear him as he talks about what happened today and about the opposition from those who've been trying to save Terry's life.
It seems that the opponents to Mrs. Schiavo's freedom of choice will stop at just about nothing to frustrate her wishes. She has become a pawn in a political football game between different elements in this country, and at this point she unfortunately is nothing, I believe, nothing more than a cause for certain elements to prove their political prowess and political power.
All right, this guy can grandstand, can he? I mean, just listen to this. And this is a guy who takes advantage of an opportunity that should be, even if he is right, which he is not. You know, it should at least be tragic, right? Not an opportunity for him to get up and make political points himself. And notice the language he uses. This is like it's right out of the Third Reich. This is Joseph Goebbels' propaganda. He says, the opponents of Mrs. Schiavo's freedom of choice. Mrs. Schiavo's freedom of choice. You see, that's the legal fiction on which this entire case is now resting. And that is that Michael Schiavo gets to go back and say, hey, years ago, we were watching a television program. This came up. And Terri said she didn't want to receive this kind of treatment. That's all we have. She left no directive. She appears to have said this to no one else other than Michael Schiavo's relatives he brought in conveniently long after the event and after he'd made contrary claims in a malpractice lawsuit. You know, this is about the sanctity of human life, but frankly, it's also about your right to live. I'll tell you that. You know, and it comes down to whether or not someone can just go in, husband or not, and make this kind of claim and with this kind of attorney. Let's listen to what he said about the Congress passing various laws, one in the House and one in the Senate. Of course, we've been talking about what's at stake there. Let's hear what he had to say about what Congress was doing.
This resembles the Soviet Politburo. This didn't seem like members of the United States Congress acting today, but members of Stalin's Politburo, saying we're going to command a citizen to be tube-fed or not be tube-fed. It was simply outrageous. And the more outrageous thing is not one of those political leaders, not one of them would ever submit their own family member to the indignity and the illegality that's been shown on Mrs. Schiavo, yet for political gain they can do it to her.
Yeah, right. First of all, who is he to say he knows exactly what every congressman and senator would or wouldn't do for a family member? That's just obscene. I don't even have a moral vocabulary to deal with that kind of moral garbage. But you'll notice when he talks about the United States Congress acting like the Soviet Politburo, you know, if you think everyone else is crazy, you are. Okay, that's just a basic principle of rationality. If the whole world looks crazy, then you better look in the mirror. The vote in the United States House of Representatives was so overwhelming it was a voice vote. Those almost never happen. If it was contested by any degree, it would not be a voice vote. The vote in the Senate was overwhelming. That's why George Vilas had to go after not only the Republicans, but after Democrats. He singled out for his opposition Tom Harkin, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry. You know, that ought to tell him something. Certainly ought to tell the rest of us something. We'll be back to talk about this case in just a moment, and there is the opportunity for you to join this conversation because this is about you, it's about your family, it's about your life, it's about your loved ones. Terri Schiavo is the focal point of what we're talking about today, but the dignity of human life is on the line. And if it's on the line one place, it's on the line in every case. The phone number, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This case is going to reverberate around this country. And right now, there is still the opportunity for you to act. Go to the website of the United States House at www.house.gov, the Senate, www.senate.gov, and write your legislators and tell them what you expect them to do over the weekend and fast. We'll be right back with your calls. I'm Albert Mohler.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This story is still unfolding, and it will be for some time. We're going to be tracking this for you. Of course, the legislative attempts in Washington, D.C. continue, and so do legal attempts there in Florida, although it's clear that time is running out because we're not talking about the potential for Terri Schiavo's feeding tube being removed. We're talking about the actuality. 1:45 this afternoon. And, by the way, as George Filos held his news conference, he said that Michael Schiavo was not there, but a representative for him was there when the feeding tube was removed. And I don't know. We're going to be tracking this. Trying to unpack this thing is very difficult just in terms of the unfolding soap opera here. But let's not lose track of the fact that a human life is at stake. If you can remove feeding and hydration from Terri Schiavo, who is nowhere near brain dead, no one's even coming close to making that argument, whose heart is still beating, who is otherwise healthily functioning, but is in a state of reduced consciousness, if you can remove her feeding tube, if you can starve her to death, then who's next? I mean, that's the bottom line. We're not talking here about some of the celebrated cases of past, and we could debate those too. We're talking about here a case in which there is no clear directive. This is not a woman who left a letter or a written instruction or what's called a living will asking that this not be done, that the feeding not be continued. This is her husband making an argument that is the very opposite of an argument he made before. From Tampa, Florida, we have Rex Sparklin, who's been an attorney for Terri Schiavo's parents, the Schindlers. Rex, welcome to the program.
It's a delight to be with you.
Rex, can you give us any particular update on this that could help our listeners to frame this issue?
Yes, let me tackle it on two fronts, what I would call the legal front and then the legislative front. We were dealt multiple fatal blows today on the legal front. We started off, our office worked through the night, as we have been for the last several days, on a last-minute emergency petitions. We filed an emergency habeas corpus petition, which is literally the last possible filing. Many people may recognize that term from death penalty cases. And you know what? That's what we have here. We have a judge who is literally sentenced to death Terri Schiavo, a disabled American citizen. And the tragedy of this is she's done no crime. This is not an authority given by the court. It was an order by the court for her to die. And the parents, through our office, had requested the judge that the parents be allowed to at least try to feed her by mouth. She can swallow. When they brush her teeth, she swallows her saliva. And the parents requested that the judge, the court, allow them to at least try to feed her. And the judge unbelievably refused nourishment by mouth. The ruling is she shall die.
Okay, Rex, Mr. Sparklin, hold on just a minute. I don't want something to pass by very quickly because we've had some callers in previous shows who said that they really want to challenge this whole thing about Terri's state of consciousness. There's a debate over the exact diagnosis, and a part of the horror of the situation is I don't think there's been any adequate medical evaluation, certainly in recent years, about her state. But you said something very interesting. I think almost everyone listening to this program can understand what you just said. She knows that her teeth are being brushed, and she swallows after her teeth are brushed, right?
That's exactly right. Are you aware? Most people aren't aware of this, that her last medical exam in terms of what can we do for her, what is the latest medical advance, those last decisions were made several years ago, 3 years ago. We asked the judge, at least before we kill her or starve her to death, let us take the last 3 years of medical advances and see if there's anything further we can do for her. That motion was denied.
It's almost incredible to believe. I mean, you start looking at this and you begin to wonder, you know, how in the world, in the United States of America, can this happen? And, you know, we are talking about the fact that the Florida legislature has taken action. Jeb Bush has taken action. They were later invalidated by courts.
If you want to talk about what I would consider a miracle from the Lord, is the action by thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people all over the country who have said, we want to help. It's been a miracle of love and support for the Schindler family.
Well, we will certainly be doing that, and that was here our guest, Rex Sparklin, who's an attorney for Terry Schiavo's parents, the Schindlers, and thanks to WTBN in Tampa for helping us to make that connection. Rex, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
I want folks to know that that we've got a lot more coming here. I have a statement from President George W. Bush that was offered last night. This issue continues to unfold. Let me remind you again that there is still an opportunity for you to have an impact in this case by writing your congressmen and senators. And you can do that in the internet. House.gov, Senate.gov. Get right to the mailbox and do it now. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. We want to be ruthlessly honest in this situation. And in our reporting, we had a caller call in to say that we had misrepresented the vote in the United States Congress, House and the Senate, by saying it was overwhelming. Well, we've tracked it down as far as we can. According to the press services, it was a voice vote in both chambers. Voice votes happen when it is overwhelming, because otherwise you ask for a ballot vote. That's the only way you know the vote. And furthermore, at least some media sites are reporting that the House vote was unanimous in the sense that no one was on the record against it. So if you know something different, you let me know. But that's exactly what's coming out of the major news sources. And the reason for that is obvious. That's why George Filos was so angry at both Republicans and Democrats. It was George Filos, not Albert Mohler. It was George Filos who was complaining that not one Senate Democrat would stand up for his position. And then again, if not, then why? You know, who's out of line here? President George W. Bush released a statement last night. I wanted to read it in its entirety. He said, "The case of Terry Schiavo raises complex issues. Yet in instances like this one, where there are serious questions and substantial doubts, our society, our laws, and our courts should have a presumption in favor of life. Those who live at the mercy of others deserve our special care and concern. It should be our goal as a nation to build a culture of life where all Americans are valued, welcomed, and protected, and that culture of life must extend to individuals with disabilities." That was the President of the United States speaking last night. He spoke here, I want you to hear his language, a presumption in favor of life. Jim Smith's with us, editor of the Florida Baptist Witness. Jim, you know, I think you've made a similar argument saying if we're going to err, we need to err on the side of caution.
That's right. And in the Florida legislature yesterday, especially in the House, there were many eloquent addresses, and frequently they came back to that same theme. There's a lot that we don't understand about these issues. There's a lot that's in dispute in this particular case. But what is the rush to judgment here? Why does this woman have to be put to death today or next week? Why can't all of these matters be fully adjudicated? And therefore, why not err on the side of life? That should be the presumption. Let's have a bias in favor of life rather than a bias in favor of death. That's the bias that George Filos wants. That's his agenda, because he truly believes in a culture of death. He wants euthanasia to be mainstreamed in our society, and this case is his way of helping to make that happen.
Jim, I want to read to you from Wesley J. Smith. He's one of my favorite bioethicists at the Discovery Institute there in Seattle. I want you to hear what he said about this case. "The sad truth is many practitioners of bioethics, medicine, and law no longer believe that people like Terry Schiavo are fully human. As a consequence, these patients are being systematically stripped of their fundamental right to life and, perhaps worse, are increasingly looked upon as mere natural resources whose bodies can be plundered for the benefit of others. If it is true that a nation is judged by the way it treats its most vulnerable citizens, a lot is riding on the Schiavo case." You know, we've got a lot of listeners there in Florida, a lot right there in Tampa Bay, listening on WTBN and affiliates. There are a lot of people in Florida who are concerned about this. Jim Smith, you're the editor of the Florida Baptist Witness. There are over a million Baptists in the state of Florida. Is there anything we can do?
Well, certainly the federal legislation, we need to continue to bang on Congress's door and tell them that they need to do something. George Filos, in the portion of the news conference I happened to see, implored and begged people to write and call Congress and ask them to stop doing it. Well, if he's calling on people to do that, then we need to be calling on those who believe otherwise to be doing just the same thing. We need to urge Congress to resolve the differences between the House and the Senate bill and get it done now. Terry's life hangs in the balance, and therefore they have an obligation to take advantage of every opportunity to try to save her life. We need to be imploring our members in the House and the Senate to do that.
Okay, Jim, hang with me here. We're going to take a couple of quick calls. First of all, from Nebraska, Howard's calling, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Howard, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just have a comment. It may sound off the wall, but my mother is a survivor of Nazi Germany. I look at this, it's very scary, as another backdoor approach back in 1930s in Germany to annihilate my people.
You know, Howard, the German doctors during that era came up with an expression, Lebensentwertungslebens, or life unworthy of life. I use that a lot on this program because it's a haunting reminder of what's at stake. Life unworthy of life. I think you're exactly right. You know, eventually the Nazis, including Nazi doctors of all things, Nazi physicians, came to declare the Jews, the gypsies, homosexuals, and others as life unworthy of life. And, of course, now we have doctors arguing that those with certain deformities are life unworthy of life. And in the case of Terry Schiavo, is life unworthy of life as well. Howard, you said you were afraid your point might be off the wall. Not at all. I think it's exactly on target. And it was great to hear from you today with that word. Let's go to Al from Louisville, Kentucky, listening on WFIA. Al, go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Mueller. I've been following this case, as I'm sure a lot of people have, and I haven't heard anybody say whether or not the president has the authority to step in and make a temporary stay until all this can be worked out. Is that even a possibility?
It is not a possibility right now. There is no constitutional executive order that George W. Bush could issue from Washington that will be relevant to this case. And there's a special reason for that. And as a matter of fact, on Congress, there is a special constitutional limitation that goes back to the Revolutionary era about why Congress can't pass a bill related to only one human being in terms of conscribing their liberty, et cetera, et cetera. I think President Bush has done a good job of articulating the issue. I appreciated his statement last night. And I tell you, the president is not without a role in this, however. If the House and the Senate come together on language, as they must, we need the president's signature on that bill right away. And I'm confident the President George W. Bush will sign that bill. Al, we appreciate your call. Jim Smith, we've been looking at this case in terms of the political realities, the moral realities, and the worldview implications. You know, when you look at this whole case, folks, when you look at this case and you think about what this would mean for your family, it's easy to say, well, you know, this is just one family. It's regrettable to see the brokenness and the disagreement. It's an awful thing that happened to Terry Schiavo, but this is not about me. This is not about my family. Folks, you never know what's right around the corner. You never know what you're going to have to deal with. And in a day with such advanced medical technologies, this is precisely the kind of situation that more and more families are going to face. More and more families are going to have to make decisions like this in nursing homes and hospices and hospital rooms. And if we don't think these things through, and I guess if there's any one point I would most emphatically make right at this moment, it is this. If we do not emphatically and carefully and biblically, as Christians, think these issues through before we get to them, we can find ourselves under undue influence, pressed by the circumstances and exigencies of the case, to make a decision that violates the sanctity of human life. You know, Michael Schiavo has an argument. If Terry Schiavo is no longer a human being, then frankly, you can treat her like this. That's his argument. It's just an argument we can't accept. Not for a second. Human life hangs on definitions and distinctions like this. If Terry Schiavo doesn't deserve to live, who does? I'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. This is the Albert Mueller Program. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You know, day by day, we try to talk about the most important issues confronting Christians, citizens, thinkers, those of us who are trying to think through the issues of the day from a Christian worldview perspective. And oftentimes these issues are urgent, but I don't think we've ever had an issue that's been quite as urgent as this one, because we're talking about something that's unfolding right before our eyes, right in this time, in this 24-hour period. It was only at 1:45 this afternoon, Eastern Time, that the feeding tube was removed from Terry Schiavo. Let's just face the reality. If it is not reinserted, if nutrition and nourishment is not restarted, she will die of starvation. And that's a frankly just unthinkable death, starvation and dehydration. Jim Smith, editor of the Florida Baptist Witness, has done, I think, the best job of covering this from a worldview perspective right there in Florida. Jim, where can people go for further resources to keep up with this case?
Well, Dr. Mueller, we have given extensive coverage to it, and I thank you for your kind words. On our website is an extensive catalog archive of that coverage at floridabaptistwitness.com. Listeners can go there and see literally dozens of stories, probably more than 100 by now. And we've followed it very extensively for the last year, more than year and a half. And I think it would be a good resource for people who are just finding out or just for the first time learning about this case to try to figure out what the facts are.
Jim, thanks for giving us so much time this afternoon. We really appreciate it. And we'll be calling you back for updates on this, I'm sure, in coming days. Folks, we've been talking about what you can do. And I just want to urge you again to go to the website of the United States House, the United States Senate, and register your hope, your expectation, and your call for your elected representatives to stand up in defense of Terry Schiavo. That's www.senate.gov and www.house.gov. That's G-O-V. And you can go, you can put in your zip code and be taken immediately to those you need to write. You can send an email. By internet, it takes a very short amount of time. There's no time to write a letter, folks. You need to send an email. Also, you can call the switchboard of the Senate and the House. The House and Senate switchboard is 202-224-3121. That is 202-224-3121. There's one particular leader in Congress that that right now can move this more quickly than anyone else. That is Speaker of the House, Denny Hastert. Dennis Hastert's office can be reached by calling 202-225-2976. That's 225-2976. There's always more we can do because we're Christians, after all. We need to pray. We need to pray for Terry Schiavo. We need to pray for her parents. We need to pray for her family. We need to pray for rescue. Folks, I'll be on CNN's Headline News, the program Nancy Grace tonight at 8 o'clock talking about this, and who knows what will happen between now and then. Let's devote this to prayer and our most careful Christian thinking. You can count on this. We'll be back next week to talk about what really matters. See you then.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Mueller's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mueller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.